Season's greetings from all of us at Locks of the Week Radio.
Coast to coast, internet sports talk, Locks of the Week.
Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting...
Let him play!
Yeah, everybody have a show today. We had snow today, show today, show tomorrow.
I don't know if you want that on your credit card bill. You know, saying the WWE network on it. I mean, like,
your dad would be like, Dave, you have something to tell me?
That's the story that they still
play. It's unbelievable!
You have your LeBron in the filet. It's like, do you really care about the James Jones at the end of the bench and your potatoes?
Maybe the board, the MikeFrancisco.com, was just ahead of its time.
Pioneers.
Exactly, yeah.
Pioneers, if you will. Yeah.
We listen to this guy sit at a desk, picking his teeth every day, and all the dumb stuff he does. But it's not like we're changing the dial. We like Mike. You know, we hate Mike, we love Mike, all that back and forth.
Bingo.
Unbelievable.
The San Antonio Spurs, Dave. What do they say about him?
They're boring.
They're boring!
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas! Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for our final program of the year. Good to have you with us from Santa Monica tonight, where the weather outside is frightful for those of us out west. Great to be here and joining us in our 2 hours tonight, Kevin on the Cape, for a 2-hour extended random questions. Time to reflect and recap on the year that was 2014, and we will accept your random questions three ways to get us going. No video tonight. I am at a crossroads with the YouTube system. I think what I want to do is I want to integrate the two services into one service. We were trying to run them simultaneously, and it just didn't work. Like, one was cutting out the bandwidth from the other, and so you would either have broken up audio or you'd have broken up video. So it was never really working right. So I figure I'll try to use this off season, the next about 15 days to figure out how to best manage the situation. Maybe we'll go to YouTube altogether, do just video, and people can communicate to us with Google Hangouts and test that out. And it'll be fun. So stay tuned for further developments on how to receive the program. That's coming up. But the result of it tonight is just an audio feed, just you and me and the junkie. And all of you can either call us 424-258-9251 for the random question, just to say hello if you want to, and then have your question. You can also chat with us, blogtalkradio.com/Dave in the City, a most ineffective apparatus, but I hope you can still give it the old college try. And via Twitter, by going to @DitCow. So again, @DitCow, blogtalkradio.com, 424-258-9251. And that's how you can get to us with a random question tonight. We really want to hear from you on this special evening, where we will look at the year's best moments in the city and reflect on the holidays coming up. It really is right around the corner. And I'm actually happy to report that I've got most of the Christmas shopping done. And for those of you who partake, happy Hanukkah as well. It certainly is a festive time for all. And for those of you who've really been suffering from various things, struggling out there, whatever it is, I hope that there's a little bit of comfort and warmth for you coming up. We try to make a little bit of your day brighter with this program, and hopefully the word is spreading about it. I don't know. This was our fifth year doing the show. I guess that technically, let's see. We started it in December 2008, but it was really in the preliminary stages. For all intents and purposes, the show began to start at the start of 2009. So this is now 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014. This is our sixth year doing the show. And in that time, we've really made some new friends, had gotten to know many others through real-life experiences, even had some famous names on the program. And the fact that there are more of them is really just me. If I really wanted to, I could get pretty much all sorts of guests on the show. But I can't work with the comfort zone and the amount of time I have. I still have to do my regular job, too. So I definitely don't want to leave that behind. But it's been really a lot of fun, and I've really expanded my ability to speak during these 6 years doing the show. I remember the first show I ever did, I just recorded it on a Radio Shack microphone into the Audacity straight up, and that was how it started. It was just a very meager experience. We have some slightly better equipment now, and we're trying to improve upon that. So progress of the show is always welcome. And then for the last 3 years, the Junkman has been a big part of it. Perhaps it's the last four, because we started... No, wait, it's the last three, because we started Random Questions in June 2011. 11, 12, 13... No, I guess that was 4 years. So 4 years with a Junkman doing random cues, and it's really been a valuable asset to the program. One of the warmest people that you'll meet. I can't wait to hear from him tonight as we continue our journey of Random Questions. Really a good time. 2014 certainly brought a lot of good things to us in sports, nationally and locally. The year in review certainly is a memorable one. If you remember going back through January, the build-up to Super Bowl 48, the Broncos playing the Seahawks. Funny thing, they're both very much in it to make it back to the Super Bowl this year. So these teams have leveled off only a little since that season a while ago. But they were heading towards a pivotal matchup. That's how the year started. And we also had the final BCS championship ever in the month of January. So in that final BCS championship, I remember it was pretty good game. We had Florida State beating out Auburn, despite Auburn making a pretty nice comeback in the game. And they almost had the game. Or no, what happened was they did have the game, and Florida State came back, and then they beat them. Kelvin Benjamin was a big part of that. And Jameis Winston getting, leading an MVP-caliber type season. I believe he had the Heisman Trophy that year, leading into the game, which was taking place in January of this particular year. And what a way to start. Super Bowl, February. You had the Broncos play the Seahawks. A lot of guys love the Broncos. I love the Broncos. I put a 5-year Super Bowl winning streak on that team, and they flunked. Remember that? The first play of the game, Manning had a snap go over his head, and it goes way behind him, and it led to safety, and the Seahawks just took it from there and never let up, and they won 48-7 or 43-7. That's 40. I think it's 48-8. Or was it 43-8? No, why don't I just look it up? The Super Bowl. The Super Bowl was really something. I mean, the game itself was something to forget, but that was an impressive performance. 43-8. Yeah, the Seahawks beat the Denver Broncos. So that's how the season began for this show. Our season usually starts in January and it ends in December. And that's how the sports year began for most of us in America. So now, as we continue to recap the year of 2014 and reflect on the holidays and give thanks for everything we've got, let's bring it to the man always willing to give us joy and laughter, and perhaps a little bit of snow from his land of Massachusetts. It's Kevin on the Cape on America's favorite moment in sports talk podcasting.
To the dance. It's time for random questions.
Good stuff.
In the city with Kevin on the Cape.
Once again, your number to call is 424-258-9251. If you want to chat with us tonight and ask us a random question, we'll also field the questions on Twitter at Ditcow, DITCOW, and on the blogtalkradio.com/Dave in the City chat room. So join us, won't you, for all the good stuff. Oh, the chat room's not up yet. Oops. Okay, let's bring in Kevin on the Cape. How you doing, Kevin? How's it going tonight? Merry Christmas, by the way.
It's so funny that you and I never, you know, I'm sure people who do radio shows, you know, converse throughout the day, whether it's email or text message, and we do none of that. But you just pretty much stole my opening hello. And I was going to say to you, you know, you said something about laughter and smiles, and I was gonna open the show with saying, "Remember me, Dave, in 2014, with smiles and laughter, because that's how I'm gonna remember you."
That's awesome, man. Thanks very much. Well, great minds think alike, as they say, and smiles and laughter are what we've exchanged here on the show many a time, and I'm glad to know that really there's no real sign of it fading. As far as I know, I mean, I guess from a standpoint, there was from the time slot, but you know, we've experimented with things. We're willing to change it up, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right. I think 2014, if we can describe this podcast in any way, is sort of experiment. It was the year of the experiments. I think we haven't talked about it, but I think maybe 2015 there'll be a little more of kind of consistent brilliance. We've had our moments in 2014, but I think we owe it to our friends to come up with something good for 2015, something real that they can count on every week.
Yeah, I agree. I think a consistent broadcast is going to be a big part of it. So much as I do every off season, I try to, in the middle of all the other things I'm doing, I try to come up with a way to make the broadcast that much better from a technical standpoint and from other standpoints as well, and I'm considering a very realistic consideration of moving to Hangouts for our next season 2015, and you know, it's the middle of the decade. I think it would be time to just go full out video and just do one.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a friend of mine a couple weeks ago. I was hanging out at her. She had a Christmas party, and she was showing me the ins and outs of Google Hangouts, and I think I might be able to pull that one off.
That's awesome. I mean, all I really need, I think, is your address, your Gmail address, and if you use Gmail, it makes it that much easier. And if
I definitely use that. That's primary email.
Nice. Okay, so. Yeah, so you know what I want to do? I'll text you about this, but if I can find a couple of days here in LA before the break is over, and it's actually going to be a little longer this time because I'm taking an extra week off to accommodate a small trip to Vegas to attend the Consumer Electronics Show. But somewhere in the next 2 or 3 weeks,
which is what the rest of the country calls Nerdfest.
Oh yes, it'll be great. It's definitely a place for me. I'll be looking at fellow techies and other goobers who are going around going gaga about, you know, new doodads.
Hey, I wish I was there. Don't get me wrong. I wish I was there. I'm a closet nerd.
It's the best, man. And so I'm really going to be in the thick of it now. You know what I found out today? They have a special session at the Venetian for high-end audio. That blew my mind. I'm like, I did not know this. I didn't know it extended this far. And that was terrific. I'll get to spend just like 3 hours just doing that. I see the new speakers and the, you know, the new one, what then, the digital systems and
yeah,
the new amps. Oh, it's gonna be so good. So good.
They also have a special session at the Venetian in the little square bar by the sports book for escorts. At about 10 o'clock, which is nice.
Did you know that the, I don't know if you remember this, they said that they used to schedule the CES incidentally at the same time as the porn convention, and then the two would intersect. That kind of cracked me up.
Well, I mean, I don't understand. I mean, I'm sure, you know, everyone has to have a convention, but
right.
I don't think you need a porn convention to get to find a hot escort in Vegas. You can find that on a Tuesday in March.
All right, let me ask you this, Junkman. Since you've been, you're probably very familiar with the whole scene. What do you think is a going rate for an, quote, escort?
Well, that depends on what you're talking about, Dave. Are you talking about...
Well, I'm not talking about getting a ride to the airport or putting someone in another,
no,
someone
I'm
else's arm. I mean...
Right. I guess my
deeper.
Question is, are you doing dinner and like a party where you want to show her, this hot girl off to your friends?
Oh, okay. No,
just,
no. I mean, let's keep it simple. So
you're taking her back to your room.
Let's say it's a private affair, not a public affair.
Okay. Then I'm thinking, you were talking Vegas?
Yeah.
500, easy.
Okay.
Start with.
Okay, so then that's about what I think people would expect. So, you know, as long as you know what the terms are, then you've got it.
Yeah, and that's probably only going to get you an hour. 1 hour, tops.
Would anybody need more than an hour?
It depends. I mean, you know, some people, you know.
Because
like
the junk man needs more.
Or,
the junk man's got a motor.
I don't need. No, well, that is true. Well, I do drink a lot, so that has kind of diminishes my capacity. But it depends. You know, if you're like a cuddler, you know, like Andy in Seattle probably is, or you want to have some little, you know, you want to get room service and you want to talk to her about your, you know, should I wear pleated pants versus a straight front and all that kind of bullshit that those guys want. They want, like, you know, they can't, they have, you know, they want to have a woman to talk to that about, which is cool. That's, you know, that's totally cool. She might ask you for a little extra just for her advice, but.
Mm.
1 hour, Las Vegas, the Venetian, I'm thinking 500.
Well, I got one word for that. Grazie. I'm just kidding. There's a little bit of a double tie-in there with the Venetian. Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting to think about. All right, so... but yeah, so Hangouts is a doable thing. Let's test it. I don't know what days... I guess we could do it on a podcast night, but we're not going to broadcast it. We're just going to test it, you know. Put you on, put me on, see how it sounds, you know. They do great things with iPads, so I think you just got to use your iPad. You know, you have Hangouts on your iPad already,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
It's probably good for everyone if we do, like, a test by ourselves.
Oh, yeah, I always do. We always do. Yeah. You know, when I started using the mixer, I didn't just go right on the air with the mixer. Before testing it, I tested it first. And similar to the original YouTube stream we did, same thing, I tested it. Of course, everybody saw it because, like, YouTube had this thing where it posted the link to all the YouTubes you do on Twitter automatically. So we had the mods all watching it, and it was so funny.
Yeah, plus I'm going to need you to, you know, tell me, that setting isn't good. Maybe you should move that bookcase over there.
Yeah.
Maybe you should put that picture of Willie Mays on the side. You know,
yeah.
That kind of stuff.
That's perfect. It really is. So that's sort of the impetus for what I think I want to do. You know, we got to do next level stuff. I think.
I'm with you.
You know, we
I'm
don't.
With you. I'm willing to try it. I'm with you.
If we can do it, we have enough. We can make that a good start for. What I think is going to be a tremendous foundation, and then in the future what we can do is we can just anybody else that wants to chat with us, they can join us with the Google Hangouts, and then they so.
I think what's happening is they take us for granted. We have to step our game up, and then eventually the chat room and the questions will step their game up.
I think so, and by entering Google Hangouts, you may also have an apparatus to actually take questions too, and people who have like Gmail, which is everybody, can go in and they can make it happen. So I think I really like the concept, and it's already tied into my YouTube account, so it's pretty good. It's one small step to getting us more views on this channel. You know, I mean, I'd even be happy with like 100 a week. That's really all I need right now to start. I mean, you know, in the beginning I was trying to get 3 or 4, and then I tried to get 10, and now I'm up to like 30. So I think we're making.
I mean, I talk about our show out here with my friends and that kind of stuff, and they always get sort of frustrated with, oh, what the hell is Blog Talk Radio? But if I told them you can go to Google, we would get a couple dozen extra people would definitely tune in for that.
Yeah, it's so much easier. It was, even for that short time we started doing the video before it started breaking down, it was much easier to locate YouTube. Like, you say, oh, it's on YouTube. Go to YouTube. YouTube's user did count. Boom. There it is. And so I really wanted to just do youtube.com/ditcow, but they wouldn't let me do that. So I said, all right, fair enough. And I don't like that my YouTube page, like when you go to it, it says Dave Medina. It's like, I don't want it to be Dave Medina. Like, that's my actual name, which is fine, but it needs to also say Ditcow on it. Like, it needs to say both, but it just says Dave Medina. It's just like, that does nothing for me. It needs to say Dave in the City or Ditcow or something else. But I will say this, when you go into the page, like when you look up Ditcow on YouTube, it comes right up. That's okay. You just have to actually type in Ditcow in the search bar. So if I can do that, then okay. I guess if that makes any sense. Okay, so here we are, ready for some random questions. Again, chat with us on the phones, 424-258-9251. Cap was like, I'm going to call in, and I don't see him at all. So it's like, where is our friend Captain? I don't know, but we'll chat for them in a bit if he calls. We do have a question, though, from our friend, a couple quickies. And you remember him. He's a funny guy. Very hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Good time. Season's greetings to you, Quick Man. Merry Christmas if you're out there. All right, here it is. His question is, what's the stupidest, most embarrassing belief you have, but yet you still believe it? It could be a conspiracy or a theory.
That's a terrific question. That's an absolutely terrific question. And yeah, that's a good one. So it's a ridiculous belief that I have that I...
Yeah, and it's one that you still believe, like even today.
Right. I'm going to go with the first thing that comes to my mind, as usual. And I still have, I am a firm believer. I don't go crazy about this. I mean, I don't research it and stand on the street corner and shout it, but I am a firm believer in that there are aliens, and not saying that people get abducted by them and probed and all those weird things that you hear on those strange TV shows and stories, but I am a firm believer that there are other life forms out in the universe.
Ooh, so you're into the extraterrestrials. Ho, ho, ho. All right.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm into them. Like, ooh. I go out on the walk out on the beach and chant to the stars and stuff about it, but I do believe that it's somewhat short-sighted to think that we're the only ones out there.
I word up on that. Word up. Cool. Okay, so... So you believe in aliens and extraterrestrial life. What is my belief that I still hold on to, even though it's silly? I had said for a longest time that I thought that that Bud Selig had some kind of conspiracy against the Dodgers, letting McCourt buy the team. The problem is I don't still believe it anymore, because now these guys are just amazing. So, but that was one I had for a while. And it's stupid. I knew it was stupid, too. Like, I knew it was dumb to think that. I still have some other dumb ones, though, like other beliefs. Let's think. But this isn't even a belief. It's just a fact. I was thinking, like, every Walt Coleman game is one of the worst, one of the ugliest games you'll watch in the NFL. I mean, any Walt Coleman or Jeff Triplett game in the NFL is a terrible game because they always over-officiate it. But that's, again, like, is that a theory or is that just an observation? You know what I mean? Like, not really a theory. That's more of a something you see after the fact. So, let me think.
It's a tough question. That's just something I don't think about, which is why, like, quickie questions are really good in that way. They really sneak up on you on things that you don't really think about. They really make you think, and that's a good thing. Gosh. I have a theory.
I like how...
Oh, go ahead.
I like the difference where you you immediately think about sports, and I think of the opposite.
Well, I mean... I don't know if it, I don't really want to get into other things. It's sports is one of the few things I have somewhat.
Right. Well, I know you don't want to. That's why I'm here.
Yeah. No, that's why the balance is good. No, it's true. I guess no matter what it happens, I always seem to gravitate it towards sports. Somebody said one time they were impressed by how I made some other completely out there topic and somehow got it back to sports. And yeah, and it was true. I did. It was. I wasn't even thinking about it. So, was it on the board? Maybe. I'm not sure. But what was my theory? Okay. So the other theory I had. Oh gosh, what was it? I have a theory that on the Red Zone channel, there's the guy that produces the show. Is a huge Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan because I have seen such an inordinate amount of cut-ins to Tampa Bay Bucs games to this day where, I mean, it's not that big a deal. It's not that big a difference, but you see it, like, it's like, what are we doing moving to this game? It's like, there's no point in tuning into this, and they do. They cut to it a lot, and it's probably just a coincidence, but I have this dumb theory where I think the guy is just like a secretly Tampa Bay fan, and just decides to throw the game on a lot, even if they're playing like a terrible team like Jacksonville. So that's my theory. Red Zone channel guy loves the Bucks and is a Bucks fan. That's not even that good a theory. I need more time to think about it. All right, you ready for this? Okay, question two.
Yeah.
What is your personal greatest athletic feat? You've probably got so many, so I will start with you.
My personal most greatest athletic feat. Yeah, I've got one that comes straight to my head. I don't know. I have two. And they always sort of pull at each other. But I'm going to pick 1990. How old am I? Jesus Christ. 1993.
Wow.
That's a lie. 1994. John F. Kennedy High School. That's where I went to playing Gibson High School, right on the good old banks of the Hudson River. Early April, really cold, kind of damp. Took the bus up; it's like an hour away to play this baseball game. And 2-0, I threw a no hitter. Actually, it was a perfect game. I don't want to brag, but. And the perfect game was cool because I wasn't much of a flamethrower. I think I was maybe 6 strikeouts, you know, no walks. We had a bunch of ridiculous plays made in the field. It was one of those games that it was like not a league game. It was against a really weird team that we didn't know about. And, guys just kept going down and down, and there was a bunch of people yelling at me in the stands and stuff like that. And, so not only did I throw a perfect game for those 7 innings that they play in high school, but I scored the first run and knocked in the second run.
Holy Moses.
At one point they had this like Mo Vaughn looking kid who, you know, was their first baseman, their number 3 hitter, who hit a bunch of long fly ball outs. Just, you know, every time he connected, I'd go, all right, that's over. But they just sort of faded in the outfield, and I still remember on his third at bat, he hit a shot, just a complete blast that sort of got caught up in the wind and was just, you know, a long fly ball. And he sort of walks across, like, right on the mound and is just, you know, next time I'm going to get you. And I go, you know, hit the weight room, fat boy, and start yelling and screaming at each other. And, you know, they got to separate us. So it was kind of cool because it wasn't just, it was sort of bringing out the most competitiveness, because I'm a pretty calm person, but I lost it in that, I think it was the sixth inning. I totally lost it and started screaming at him, and my catcher's running and coming up to me telling me to calm down because they never saw me do that and stuff. And, you know, and then we got on the bus and, you know, went home, and it was so funny because it was a game that was so out of the way that nobody in my family saw it. My brother didn't see it. And they're like, how was the game? And I was like, oh, I threw a perfect game. And my dad's like, no, you didn't. He's like, he didn't believe that. No one in my family believed it until they saw it in the newspaper the next day, which is funny.
Unbelievable. Congratulations, man. I mean, that is, I couldn't even dream of doing anything like that. You are the dream. This is amazing. I mean, did they give you the game ball for that and all that?
I still have it, Dave.
Nice.
I have this like old school kind of trunk, which has always kind of traveled with me to wherever, you know, many places I've moved and apartments I've lived in. And it's this big blue trunk, and it's got, you know, some notes that people have written me in the past and baseball cards and stuff like that. But there's a few baseballs on there that I wrote down certain things that I did during those games. And there's probably only four or five in there. And, yeah, there's that one in there. It says, I could find it for you one day, but it says the date and the, you know, seven innings, six strikeouts, no hits, you know, 2-0, kind of just like written on baseball. And somebody wrote on it for it and gave it to me after.
That's as awesome as it gets. That's a moment that you will cherish forever. And you have. It's amazing that to hear the story 20 years later. It's that's pretty cool.
It's funny because I haven't thought about that for a long time.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the greatness of the random question.
That's pretty awesome. You know, I can't. I'm not even gonna have anything that's good as that. I mean, the best I can come up with is like my swim meets, but I did do. I think one of my finest moments was when I was able to do, what was it, break 2 minutes. It's not that impressive, but you know, for a guy who's only been swimming for like 3 years total, whereas everybody else has been swimming like, you know, their whole lives, like 20, 30, 50 years. But breaking 2 minutes in the, you know, setting a personal best in a 100-meter butterfly short course was really fun. That was a really awesome feeling. I remember that really well. It was it's always a very challenging race to do. It really takes a lot out of you, but I really enjoyed that very well. And that's one that's going to stick with me for a while. Cause I remember telling myself the whole time, like, I can do this. Like, if I can do this, cause I'm already doing 30 seconds in practice each length and da, 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 da. And I just set out there and I prepped for, I mentally psyched myself out for the whole thing. And, this was phenomenal. Like, it was like 140 something. And it was like, this is amazing. So, that's like my personal best for now. Basically, most of the swim meets I've done have really been great triumphs. And I remember the first time I completed a 100 individual medley, 100 yard individual medley without disqualifying. That was satisfying too, because I could never do it without disqualifying somehow, but this, I finally got it done. That was a big moment too. I really got tremendous satisfaction from it. Nothing like the no hitter you had, but still a fun moment. So okay, let's get to our next question. Random questions, Kevin on the Cape, and yours truly, Dave Medina. Three ways to reach us tonight at Ditcow. to tweet your question, blogtalkradio.com to write your question in chat, or 424-258-9251 to call in your question. So if you're on the phone tonight, give us a ring, 424-258-9251. You know, if we go to this new system, we won't be doing phone calls anymore. Now, that's a bittersweet thing to that. I mean, it stinks in one aspect, but in another aspect, it kind of tells everybody, you know, it's the 21st century. Let's try something different. Like, let's do it through social media. Let's do it through the smartphone. And everybody's got Skype on their smartphone. Everybody's got Hangouts, so there's a way to do it. So, anyway, let's get to that question. Next question. Let's actually go to this question from Let's Go Mex. We had him on the show recently. It was about the summer of this year, late summer, August, where we finally had him on the show after numerous failed bids and various issues on my end. But we did get him on the show, and it was a really fun time. So he's a very, very engaging human being, and he writes us this question. All right, so Let's Go Mex asks, thawing relations with Cuba. As you may know, the United States is starting to open up that embargo with Cuba, so they are going to try to get it going again. So they are now trying to get a handshake agreement, opening up relations. Good or bad, and why? Heavy question, right? But what do you think?
That is a heavy question. That's a heavy question. I think it's important for this country to make sure they got their act together. I don't think they should just, you know, open the doors to Cuba if Cuba is still imprisoning people for, you know, speaking their mind and playing music and doing all sorts of ridiculous things that country has done. I actually have come a full circle on this one, I think, and sort of come to grips with us as the country dealing with them, because they're a bunch of assholes. If they're going to treat their people, by their government, if they're going to treat their government, if the government is going to treat their people the way they've been doing it for all these years, we should cut them off. But if they're going to show a sort of open-minded respect to their citizens, and they can prove that to the world, open up trades and let's build some hotels down there and put some money into the country and give jobs and all that stuff. But if they're just going to keep continuing to do the bullshit that they've done for 50 years or even longer than that, then cut them off. I mean, you know, there's plenty of other people to send our computers to, or in your cars and all that other crap. But Cuba needs to get their act together. That's the one thing that I think people kind of lose sight with is, it's a Caribbean country and they're happy and they play, you know, whatever. But their government has really hurt their own people more than anything else. So I'm all for it if they're going to stop, you know, throwing guys in jail for, you know, opposing the government. I mean, we have people in you can look on CNN.com every day and watch people in our own country speaking out against our government. We don't throw them in jail and beat them and punish them, you know. So if they're going to go be a little bit more open-minded, I'm all for it. Let's go down there. Let's spend our money there. Let's go on vacation there. But not if they're just going to just completely suppress any alternative thought to the government.
Well, that's well said. And, you know, it really brings to light where, you know, the state of Cuba today
And I really don't have a read on it. I'm not going to pretend to be any expert on Cuba, so I simply have no idea. I couldn't even tell you if things have improved, if they're getting better, or what.
I may be a dreamer, Dave, but I'm not the only one.
Yeah, I really don't know. I think it's good, personally. Why? I think it's because it does open the door towards improvement between not only the two nations, but within each nation in its own right. And I think it can be good for the long term. I do agree with you, though, that it would really depend on the Cuban government reforming somewhat. And we face a similar problem with Russia right now, because they're really starting to treat its own citizens pretty badly as well. And so how do you approach that? I think if you really... My thing about it is that we haven't cut off... Like, we don't have an embargo with China. And I don't... It couldn't even tell you how much torture that the Chinese government is putting onto its citizens. And probably not to the same degree, I must say. But, you know, they're not saints either. And so it's... I don't know, it's sort of a slippery slope, right? But I was wondering to myself whether the embargo had reached a point where it got outdated. So I do agree with you, though. In the long run, it just depends on Cuba itself. I think the relations improve if it improves. And I think that's where we start. So as with anything, a great improvement always starts from A, the top, and B, within. Hopefully that will be at hand. All right, so question coming up. I say hopefully with a capital H. Okay, next question. What's the most cash you've ever had on you at once? In your wallet.
The most cash... it's not a lot in comparison to... I'm sure some of the people who listen to us are on those websites, because they're all loaded, and I'm not. But I have the answer. I mean, I have my answer. Because there's that one weekend in my life where I had more cash on me as far as bills, actual green cash on me than I ever had, and that was 2001. Weekend at the Riviera, which I don't think exists anymore in Las Vegas.
No, it's still around. It's old as dirt, it's still around amazingly.
Really?
Yeah, it's in awful shape, but it is still around, yeah.
It was the first Patriots Super Bowl where they played the Rams and the greatest show on turf, and they're huge underdogs. And it's the only weekend in my life where I'm a different kind of gambler. I'm not a guy that like sits at the roulette table or sits at the blackjack table all night, wins $1,000 and puts it back. Or, you know, if I win $1,000, I just get up and go to the next game and everyone hates me. It was 2001. Super Bowl weekend. We went there from Friday to Monday, and it was one of those just dumb weekends where, you know, my friend said, I'm like, hey, we're going to dinner, and he says, well, let me play a couple more hands. So I'll just say, oh, I'm not going to sit around and do nothing, so I'll just put $20 into the slot machine, and then I hit a button, and it says, you win $500.
Oh.
I'm like, okay, I'm just going to take that out. I'm not going to just sit there and spend more. And it's one of those weekends where you walk by the roulette and you just say, hey, here's $200 on black, and black hits. And it was one of those weekends where by the end of it, I'm going, this is never going to happen again. So I never went crazy and, you know, said, hey, $10,000 on the Pats or something. You know, I just bet within my means. And the best part was that I was so up. I was up, you know, $4,000 by Sunday, and the game's coming on, and if you remember, you were a young kid, but you were in high school.
No, I wasn't that young. I would have been 19 at that time. You're okay, talking about the Patriots Rams Super Bowl?
The first one.
Yeah. The first one they won, right?
It was like 13 or 14 points. They were underdogs. So
yeah, that's right.
The whole weekend I'm taking the Pats with the points. This is going to be great. Because it's going to be close. I don't think they're going to win, but it's going to be close. And then, so I have all this money now that I've won in 2 days, and I'm sitting there waiting my turn in line. And for some reason, I just snapped at the window. I just sort of snapped and said, I'm going to take the Patriots with the money line. And the guy's,
oh my gosh.
Goes, really? You know, they have to win, right? And I'm like, yeah.
Here, oh my!
Take the money, and it was the money line at that point was like +375. You know,
oh
bet 100
wow!
And went 370.
I mean, that's not huge. So, I mean, that's a big amount, but it's not as big as I thought it would be for the time. But go ahead.
I think it might have been more than that. I can't remember exactly. And I had a friend of mine who had, because we used to always go to Vegas for the Super Bowl. So I had a friend of mine. Our tradition was at the end of at the weekend we would always pick one team where we'd bet on for the following year, you know, because they always post the Super Bowl odds, which is kind of fun, you know. Giants are 40-1, Eagles are 30-1. So the previous year, he had bet the Patriots. So he had like $20.
Why would he bet the Patriots? Like a year ago? That didn't make any sense.
Yeah, because he was just like from Hartford and thought that would be cool.
Oh, okay.
He didn't know anything about it. So we're at this game, and he's got $1,000 if they win on this $20 bet. So he's out of his mind, insane. And then I'm looking at my tickets going, I just need them to win by 13. And then I'm going, oh, crap, I didn't bet that. I bet all this other stuff, and I bet a ton of money on them to win the money line. So they come down to the field goal and all that kind of crap at the end of the game. And guy kicks the field goal, and we're at this point, I don't think they do this anymore because the NFL is a bunch of Nazis, but at this point, these Super Bowl parties were these big 10, 12-person tables where you'd watch the game on, you know, movie screens, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
And we're opposite of each other, and Vinatieri hits the field goal, and we jumped at each other and just destroyed the table. Like, we were, like, trying to hug each other, but we couldn't reach each other because the table was so big. And just made a complete mess, and everyone is just kind of like, what are these idiots doing? And it was the only time in my life where I walked to a bar, and in the Riviera, and I said, I want Johnny Walker Blue. And the guy says, well, that's like, you know, $60 a shot. And I said, I don't want a shot. I want the bottle. And he goes, that's you don't want the bottle. He says, that's a lot of money. I'm like, give me the bottle. And me and this idiot are walking around the slot machine area just pouring shots of Johnny Walker Blue for anyone that wanted one, because we were just, it was one of those weekends, one of those moments in time where we're going, this is never going to happen again. And that night, I probably had, I don't know, like $8,000 in my pocket. So that's my really, really long answer to the question.
Holy mackerel. Yeah, you know, that is the greatest stretch of luck I've ever heard of in my life. As far as anyone I know. That, you turned, I don't know if you turned $20 into that exclusively, because you said you had 20 bucks and it turned into 500.
I landed on the plane on Friday. This is the truth. When I landed on the plane, I showed up with $200.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And I thought that, I didn't have much money back then. I'm like, yeah, that's going to last me. I'll just bet horse races. I'll go to the race book, and I'll just bet $2 all weekend. And even that was stupid, because I would bet, like, a $5 exacta, and it would hit for $300. It was one of those dumb weekends that I've been paying for the rest of my life. But
dude,
that one weekend was so, so great.
What did you do with all that money? $8,000. I mean, that's so much.
Well, I mean, I didn't, Monday morning after that night, I didn't have $8,000 left.
Oh,
took a little dent from buying stuff. And but you know, I think I paid my last bill, my last college tuition bill. Mm-hmm. I think I probably paid my I was living in Denver at the time, so I think I paid my the full year rent like at once. You know, those kind of dumb things that you do when you don't know any better.
Wow.
When you're, you know, 23 years old.
Wow. And that's $8,000 back in 2001, too. So that would now be about, maybe about $10,000 or even $12,000 today, maybe even $15,000 today. I mean, that's an incredible amount of money. Unbelievable. That is impressive. I mean, you think I'm going to have... you've really come up with some great answers to these questions. This is a monster story. I mean, a run of luck that I don't think anyone that I know could match. Maybe someone can, but that really is cool. That is really cool. And you had that in cash, huh? You didn't ask you to fill out a form or anything for that? Because after a while, you have
to. Well, the funny part was... Well, yeah, there's a side story is I did bet... A horse race. Back then, I don't know. I didn't know anything about horse racing like I do now. But I wanted to stretch my money. You know, I showed up there. My friends weren't coming until later, so I just hang out in the sports book. And I'm going to bet $4. You know, I bet I think $8 on a you know the 7-1 and. All the guys, all my uncles and grandfather. My grandfather used to always tell me, always, you know, always box your exacta. And then, of course, I got to the window and I freaked out. I didn't box it, and I got back to the seat and I'm going, oh crap! I'm like, I'm just a loser. No, you know, all these old guys just know that I have no idea what I'm doing. And of course, the 7 comes right in, and then he's just crushing everyone, and. There's a 1, the 1 and the 11 are going back and forth. I'm going, I don't even remember what I bet. Was it the 1 or was it the 11? There's too many 1s. I don't understand. I can't see who won. So this old guy, I can still see this old guy's face. There's no chance he's still alive anymore. This is 15 years ago. And well, I think I got the exacta. And he says, well, just wait. You know, it'll be official in the computer. Just give them your ticket and they'll tell you if you won or not. So I'm like, okay, great. Thanks a lot, old guy. And so I go up to the guy and I give him my ticket, and he puts in the machine and it just spits the ticket out. And I'm like, it just doesn't register. And I'm like, okay, well, I probably got it wrong. And he's like, no, hold on, let me look. And he looks at it and he goes, oh no, this is an IRS ticket. You have to pay taxes on this. And that just totally blew my mind. I go, what? Like, you have to pay taxes on this. It's over $800. And so then now I'm going into the, oh, this must, I'm trying to pretend this happens to me all the time. You know, I'm trying to look around and everyone's looking at me. And like, all right, yeah, sure, of course. Can you get me the form to pay the taxes? That'll be cool. And so he goes to get the form, and I just said, excuse me, sir, can you just, I'm just confused because I only paid $8. Can you just tell me how much that I won? He goes, yeah, sure. And he prints it out, and he goes, you won $2,850.
Whoa!
And I still remember, and it was 50 cents. I still remember it. And it was because he puts the 50 cents out first, because I can still see it. And I go, really? And he's like, yeah, that the 11 horse was 71. It was like 71 to 1. And he goes, and I was like, okay. And he just throws down 28 $100 bills, 50 and 50 cents. And because I'm such an idiot, and I still would love to find this man again, because I'm just a complete fool at this point, because I'm a child, I tipped him the 50 cents. You know, I just left the 50 cents like an idiot. Like, I
50
just
cents? Yeah. It's
won
not,
all this money. No, now, Dave, I have no money. I work, you know, as we've talked about, thousands of hours. And when I go out, I tip, you know, 50% on a dinner check. At this point, I'm 24, and I gave this guy $0.50 when I made almost $3,000 on one stupid horse race. I still think about it. Not even the fact that we're talking about this now. Once a month, I think about this, and I think about that guy and what he must have thought. Like, this little ingrate child just won $3,000, and he gave me $0.50. Like, I still think about it, and it still drives me crazy. I wish I could go back in time, but I can't, so we have to move on. But, yeah, so that first horse race, I walked back to the room that I couldn't even afford at the time. I put it on a credit card. I walked back into the room with $2,800, and I'm going, this is just, I don't know what this is. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand it, you know, but that's how the weekend started, with that kind of insane, random pick a horse that's 70 to 1 and the other horse that's 30 to 1, and for some reason they came in first and second, and I won that. It was just that kind of absurd weekend that had really no explanation, but for some reason came together.
That's simply the best Vegas story yet, you know? That is, oh my gosh. I'm almost speechless to the whole thing, but really, I feel bad about that whole tipping thing too. I gotta be honest, that was poorly produced, junk man, but you're saying the same thing.
It was awful.
Yeah.
It wasn't I'm a bad person. It was that I was so out of my element, I think.
Oh, I get it. I totally get it.
When I think about it, I was looking around for the person who was going to rob me, because I walked, you know, straight to the elevator, to the room, with just the cash in a fist, and my other fist like clenched. Like, if anyone is going to come near me, I'm just going to punch them, because they're all going to try to rob me. Like, I was so naive and so stupid that. Meanwhile, you know, I'm sure everyone in that place is walking around with more money than I was, but I was convinced that this was a setup and someone was going to just try to take it from me.
I would be absolutely shocked. I wouldn't know what to do in that situation. I've never come close to that amount of money. So I think we'll leave it at that. That is really, really impressive. Now, what were you doing at Denver at the time? I always wondered, you mentioned numerous times before that you lived in Denver for a period, for a short amount of time, but what was your role there? Like, what brought you to Denver?
My role was, that's very straightforward. Two of my friends in our early 20s got jobs for, I don't even think this company exists anymore, but it was called Quest. It was a telecommunications company.
Yes, Quest.
I think they were.
Yeah.
I don't know if they exist anymore. I think at one point one of the stadiums out there was Quest.
The Seahawks Stadium.
I don't think they
was Quest Field, and then it became. By the time the Seahawks got good, it was renamed CenturyLink Field. So
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, two of my best friends in the world from 3 years old. At 23, maybe, they both got jobs there. One was a computer guy, and one was like a finance guy, and I had just been bought out of my fun little internet company, and I had no job, and they said, hey, we're moving to Denver, we got two jobs, you know, come pick us up. They were living in, one was in Philly, and one was in D.C., and so I left New York, picked them up on the U-Haul, got all their stuff, and I said, yeah, I'll come move out and hang out in Denver for a weekend or a week. And I stayed for a year, which is, didn't plan on it. I just planned on coming straight back to New York, but we moved them out. We moved out them together, and they got, you know, they rented a house, and lo and behold, it had three bedrooms, not two. And so I said, I'll take the other one, and I just sort of hung out. It was one of the best times of my life. I had two of my best friends in the world. We were probably a mile from downtown, you know, a mile from Coors Field, a mile from, and then, you know, I don't know, that like it's a Pepsi Center now, but at the time I don't think it was.
It may have been before Pepsi Center was built then, or I thought,
yeah,
Pepsi Center.
Yeah, there was this whole downtown Denver is just so terrific. I highly recommend it for anyone who like sports and let's just hang out. And it's just such great bars. And like back then it was really big into the whole like brew pubs, I think they were called, where they brewed their own beer at the bar, that kind of deal.
Ooh.
Like they had a lot of those places. And Mile High was sort of out of town, but you know, you can still get there, you know, with a relatively quick drive. We only went to one or two games there, but we were at Coors Field, you know, every other night. Because that was right there. It was so cool because you would just, it wasn't where anything I knew about, you know. It was, you were at, you know, these bars and these really cool places and hanging out with meeting girls and stuff. And then there was this cool, just terrific baseball park right there. And, you know, certain teams would come into town and stuff. And it was, we were at those games all the time. It was just a lot of fun. I think for 3 months, I don't even think I worked. I just hung out and had a good time and just got fat and stupid. And,
how did you make any money, though? Wouldn't you have to pay the rent at some point?
Yeah, exactly. After about 3 months, you know, my money... I had money when I moved out there, but it ran out pretty fast.
Oh, okay.
I spent, I think, 9 months... 7 to 9 months. I'm not exactly sure on the timeline. But I just worked. I literally, my whole entire job was I worked the door at one of the bars that was in downtown Denver. I sat on a stool and checked IDs. And the guy got cash. And then this guy who owned that bar said, hey, I got another bar down here. Do you want to bartend down there? So I went, sure, I'll go down there and bartend. I knew nothing about bartending. But when you're in it and you realize how easy it is, and there's just a bunch of young people that just want, you know, their Bud Light or their stupid cranberry and vodkas, it's not hard.
Nah, you're right.
Once you get past the first week of being nervous.
Yeah.
So for the first 3 months, I did nothing. And then for the last 7 or 8 months, I just did random things at bars. At one point, I spent, I think, a month just going. I worked the door, and the guy goes, yeah, no one's going to hear it. No one's doing dishes. Do you want to just do the dishes? And I said, sure, I'll do the dishes. I don't care. And I just did the dishes one night. And then I did that for a month. And then I went and did something else for a month. So it was one of those kind of lifestyle things.
Well, you certainly
the best part was I had it. Yeah, the best part about the entire experience was there was, I would go back to the house, and there was my two best friends literally in the world. Just totally cool guys who didn't care about money, and they didn't care about, even though they were in their 20s and they were making a shit ton, they didn't care that I came back and I told them stories about the kitchen and washing dishes. Like, they were just cool guys and said, hey, you know what? You know, beer's on us for the night, or we walked past this place and they had a box of your favorite cigars and we bought it for you. They were just great. They were just such great guys, and it was just a fun place to live.
Man, what a gem of a year that was over in Denver, and a great endorsement for the Mile High City, isn't it? I gotta check it out sometime. You know, that brings up an interesting point. I came to the conclusion that I have accumulated enough rewards points in my credit card company to get a flight to anywhere in the United States. If you had a free flight anywhere in the country, where would you go?
Los Angeles.
Really? Come out here? West Coast?
Absolutely.
Ah.
Well, I have to time it with a Dave show and a... maybe a trip down to Santa Anita.
Mm. Oh, that's a good call. That's a good call. Santa Anita's nice. That's now where is that? I don't know where that is. I know where Del Mar is. It's out there. It's not that far. It's not that far from where I am. I just forgot where it was. But that's a good time. Wow. Santa Anita's still kicking.
It's funny. I've thought about it for a while because I have three of my favorite people in the world are in California, but they're all spaced out, so it would be this vacation that I could never pull off, but it's always something I think about. I have my best friend from when I worked at NBC is in San Francisco. One of my best friends from high school is in San Diego, and then I got you in Los Angeles. So it's one of these trips where I always think about it every once in a while when I'm like, I could fly to San Francisco, and then I could drive down, and then I look at the map, and I'm like, holy crap, that state is humongous.
It is.
It's going to take me forever.
Especially to San Diego. That would be, I think, 8 hours just to go from the two, between the two.
Yeah, it's so far.
Yeah. I mean, it is a state, but it's a big state.
You got to be in a plane for like 7 hours just to get there.
Yeah. Yep.
And I got to drive to the airport, and I got to go to the security. It's like a month. I got to take a month off.
Yeah, you'd almost have to. Yeah, that's. Yeah, because even like getting the flight between NorCal and SoCal would be another $100 easily, if not more. So. No, I hear you. Maybe the other two fellas like me and that other guy, we can move to San Francisco and just make it easy for you. Just go to one place. That'd be nice. Be pretty nice.
Yeah, I actually talked to him about that a couple weeks ago. He's like, just have them all come to wine country in like Napa, and you know, we'll just get them drunk and they'll forget where they are.
That's a winner. I could do that. I wouldn't object to going to Napa. That sounds like fun. Have us a little wine.
Yeah.
Mmm. Fresh. I like it. Okay, so as we ponder that, my answer to the question, the first one that comes to mind right now is Chicago, but I'm trying to determine the time. But the second answer is probably along the lines of where you are. Denver, I've wanted to visit for quite a while too. See the Rockies, see the pubs. I love brew pubs. I'm a big fan. You know, check out their bars. And I hear they have like good pizza. True story. Someone told me that they have some decent pizza in Denver. I don't know if you can substantiate that with your experience there, but that's what they say.
Yeah, it's good for Colorado.
For Denver. That's good. That's a good answer, actually.
But one of the best things that I remember thinking about that, even before I even knew you or any, you know, you that, you know, you're from Los Angeles and you're surrounded by beautiful, blonde, hot women. I used to always be walking around downtown Denver and just astonished at the just gorgeous women just everywhere. And at one point, you know, when I started working at the bar, I would say to this, you know, the fat old guy who worked there, I'm like, I had no idea that Denver had so many amazing looking women. I'm like, are they from here? Where are they from? And he said something to me, which I still remember. He goes, you know, he's like, you know, California, right? And I go, yeah, of course I know California. He goes, there's, what, you know, beautiful women everywhere. He goes, these are the B pluses from California. You know, they figured they couldn't compete with the A pluses in Los Angeles and San Diego, so they moved here. But they're hotter than anyone else in the country. It was something where he was like, these are the cast-offs from California. But they were so good-looking that, you know, compared to the rest of the country, they were gorgeous. But compared to where they came from, San Diego and Los Angeles, they weren't at that level. But from where I came from, I'm going, holy cow. I'm like, there's just, their bodies were amazing and, you know, just blue eyes, blonde hair. They were gorgeous. And it's like, you know, he said something to the effect that we get the California girls who like to ski.
Wow.
Which I thought was interesting.
Indeed, that is interesting. I don't know. I mean, I would substantiate that. You know, our friend John in Greenwich was out to meet me recently in Vegas. And he was mesmerized by how many, as he would call them, starlets were all over the place in Vegas. And as you probably might guess, many people go to Vegas are just visiting from L.A. I would be among them. And it just blew him away. Like, when he was on the strip, he was like, wow, I can't believe how many beautiful people there are here. And And it's just something I just, I think we all take for granted here, living here. Not all the beautiful people, men and women, mostly women.
Yeah.
The babes are amazing. But, and somehow I cannot seem to land a date with any of them. That's always quite a dichotomy. But anyway, moving on. I need to win 8 grand like you, and then I'll have money, and then maybe I can do something. I gotta get a car, man. I gotta get a better car. I think that's the first step. But anyway, how would I do that? Do I just go to Vegas?
Work
and,
on that.
What's that?
You should work on the car. Girls like the cars.
I think the car is gonna be the beginning of this reclamation project. I need to get the car upgraded significantly, and I think then from that point we will be on to something. So it could happen. And I was thinking, if I even had like maybe a $5,000 down payment, I could get a decent car, like a used car, and I'd be okay. We'll see. I'll keep you posted. Okay, next question.
Don't even worry about like a fancy new car. Get like some sort of cool, like old, like 1950s convertible or something that just kind of makes you stand out. I think that'd be way cooler.
Yes, but it wouldn't be any less expensive.
That's the guy who drives that 61 Chevelle with the powder blue UCLA colors. You know, just something that makes you stand out. Anyone can drive a brand new, you know, Honda Accord or an Audi.
The mileage is great on it, though.
I could go to a dealership and get a lease for, you know, the brand new Chevy Tahoe or something ridiculous. You know, something just simple. But that's not going to make you stick out. You know, you want that cool 1956 Cadillac. I don't know anything about cars, so I'm just making this up. They probably didn't make these when I was. But you know, just something cool, or like a different color. You know, something that kind of. You drive in your neighborhood, and the girl's like, "Oh, that's Dave. He's got that car. You know, he's got that, you know, orange, you know, custom paint job, you know, whatever." I think that's where you go. I don't think you want to get some new. You just want something that makes you just kind of stick out to the girls. Something that makes them say, "Oh yeah, that's Dave. That's, you know, that's that really nice." Nice guy, you know, that really nice radio host guy. He's really funny, you know, but he's got that really cool car. Maybe, you know, he'll take us for a ride.
I like it. So think differently. That sounds like fun. Good idea. And it would be more fun for me, too. It'd be a fun car to drive. So I just worry about old cars and the reliability. That's my only problem. But leave that to me. I'll work it out. Okay, next question, random questions. We have a bunch of them tonight. As you had hoped for.
Nice.
Question nice. Next, coming up, random questions with Kevin on the Cape. Hour two, we've entered it already. Yeah, it just shows you how exciting a show this is. Here we go. Next question. I keep saying question two, but there are no numbered questions. The questions are not enumerated. Here we go. A couple quickies asks, a four-way battle with 50 men from Navajo Nation, 50 Roman soldiers, 50 of Attila and 49 Huns, and 50 modern UFC fighters armed with crowbars and 2x4s. Between those four groups, who is left standing? And they're battling on a football
question,
field.
Right, yeah, that's a good question, because he thought about this one. He actually put some time into it and didn't just... You know, if you threw in anyone who had sort of modern weapons, you would just pick them. So it'd be easy. You just shoot someone down. But he picked more or less hand-to-hand combat or short-range weapon cultures, which is kind of shows he thought this question through, which is pretty impressive. It's not your normal run-of-the-mill. Who's going to win in the fight? You know. Navy SEAL or, you know, Baby Jesus. So, with that said, I sort of always, in these kind of questions, I sort of lean to my own heritage. And I always think that the Indians are going to win out because they have some sort of tactical expertise. They know the land. Maybe depends on the terrain, things like that. Obviously, I'm not convinced that any UFC fighter could win any fight between those three, so they're the last ones, I think. only because they're the strongest. You know, physically, they're the strongest, but I don't give them, as far as a big, giant battlefield and tactical expertise, I'm not going to pick them. So I'm going to take the Native American tribe only because I'm thinking they have a little more. I mean, they have hand-to-hand combat, which is good, which is key, but they got the bows and arrows, and they've got maybe a little more strategic, you know, you flank that side, and we're going to get them back. And so I'm going to take the Native Americans to win that fight.
Ooh, nice. And you're going by their expertise, and that's...
Yeah, sort of like they're not just going to run up and just try to beat you to death. They're going to think about it. They're going to say, all right, these guys are going to come in this way, and then you hold them off, and we're going to get them from this side. You know, kind of, they got a little... I know they're crazy and they drank a lot and stuff, but I think as far as if you don't put in modern weapons, if you don't count for rifles and cannons and those kind of things, I think they always have some sort of innate tactical advantage where they can figure out how to best survive.
Excellent. All right. So I can dig that. And very well-reasoned answer and a very well-thought-out question by a couple of quickies. Great job out of him tonight with these questions. He has one more coming up. But first, let's get this question from Let's Go Mex. Mex Man with this follow-up question. Waterboarding, torture, or an effective counterintelligence technique? Which is it? What do you consider waterboarding? Do you find it torture?
I think it's just a lot of fun. I mean, who doesn't like to go on a board on the water and, you know, go with the waves? Maybe it's a boogie board or like a stand-up paddle board. Maybe some sort of, if you get the wind, especially out here on the Cape, you know, you get a nice day with the wind, you know, get that little kite boarding. I mean, you can go 6, 10, 12 feet up in the air, which is a lot of fun.
I don't think that's the waterboarding he was thinking of, but I think you're thinking of paddleboarding, which is a lot of fun. Or boogie boarding.
Wait.
Or just surfboarding.
Well, I thought he meant waterboarding. Like, I thought he was encompassing everything: paddleboarding, kiteboarding, surfboarding, boogie boarding, maybe just. So, waterboarding is not a term to describe all the events that we do out here on the ocean.
It is, but it also is a term for a form of torture, and I'll describe it to you. I mean, it's like, you know, like there have some words that are worth two that mean two things, and so that's one meaning of it, the one that you're thinking of. But the other meaning of it is basically water torture, and so what it is that never actually seen this before, but. But in a sense, what happens is water is poured over a cloth covering the face and breathing passages of an immobilized captive. I'm reading this from Wikipedia. Causing the individual to experience the sensation of drowning. So it can cause extreme pain, dry drowning, damage to lungs, brain... Okay, you know, it's a grisly technique, basically. So it's poured over a cloth covering the face... And breathing.
So you just dump water over some guy. So you put like a kitchen cloth over my face, and you dump water on it.
Yes. So it gives you like a simulated drowning. It simulates drowning basically. So the question is,
why can't I just close my mouth and not swallow the water?
Well, no, you're not getting. No, that's a good question, but you have people who take you hostage who do this basically. Does that make sense?
I mean, it makes sense that I'm being taken hostage. Maybe I don't understand the basics of the technique. So,
okay,
are you submerging my face, my whole head in water so I can't breathe? Like, am I in? Like, are you holding me down in water so I can't breathe?
I guess what you do. Unfortunately, I'm not really up on it myself, but they hold you down. That part is correct. But they don't drown your face all the way in the water. They basically just put a cloth full of water into your mouth. So it's like you're swallowing water, but it's in a cloth. So they can just take it right out if they wanted to. And it's obviously very painful. So, in other words, he asks, is it torture or an effective counterintelligence technique? Well, I mean, it's torture both ways. So that's how I would respond to that. If you had to choose between the two, and you know, you could go either. I guess some people could go either way.
Yeah, it sounds like a way of torture, but I don't understand the question. I mean, is it
simply torture, or is it also an effective counterintelligence? It's kind of an odd. It's. I understand that you're confused.
Yeah,
over the question.
I guess it's only a counterintelligent technique is if he gives you something.
Right.
It's not an effective technique if he just dies.
Yeah.
It's just stupid.
Exactly. Okay. Very well. We'll leave it at that. Next question from a couple quickies on the subject of cars. We were talking about old restored cars. Well, he asks, I once had a chance to buy a fully restored 68 Cadillac convertible off a guy getting divorced for only $4,000. He had only $3,500 and passed. And the quickies regrets this his entire life. He's regretted that from that moment on up to today. So his question is there any purchase that you either made or you passed on that you regret? I'm guessing it's more along the lines of, is there something that you could have purchased and you didn't, and you still regret that move to this day?
I'd like to state that he should have robbed a bank that weekend and got that extra $500. His life would have been awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure he's happy. I'm sure he's got a great girlfriend and all that kind of crap, but he should have somehow found that extra $500 to buy that car, because that would have just been the greatest, 6 or 7 years of his life driving around that thing, looking cool. Sort of like what I was just telling you about before. He would have been awesome. He would have had anything he wanted. Anyway, as far as me, no, there's nothing. It could be sad or it could be good. I don't even spend any time thinking about it. I don't regret anything in my life. And especially as far as buying something or not buying something. So as far as could there have been something I bought and I thought it'd be cool, there's nothing that even comes to mind. So as far as that goes, I don't know if I've just sort of come to that way of thinking, but yeah, I don't regret anything, especially monetarily, as far as buying certain things or toys or gifts or anything.
Okay. I have had these moments, but they've had probably a bunch of them, so I can't really isolate any one. I mean, I've gotten a little too exuberant getting the jingles for this podcast, and I really only needed like half of them and ended up buying like twice as many. So that I'm still really regretting. That was about it. I mean, there are other things where it's like, oh man, I can't believe I passed on it. And you're like, I mean, I regret not getting a flight sooner for this Vegas trip I proposed. Like, if I had just waited, I'm not joking, like, if I had waited If I had jumped on it only hours before I thought I was going to do it, I could have had a decent flight for under 150 for this trip to Vegas and back, which is already, which is pretty expensive anyway, but it's at least manageable. And I blew it. And so I have little ones. Like, I don't have really huge ones where it's like, I could have bought a house, and, you know, I haven't really quite had that kind of a, that kind of a moment yet, but definitely had instances where I had an opportunity to jump on something and I didn't, and I was like, why didn't I jump on it? It happens a lot. It does happen a lot. But only on a smaller scale, not to the scale that Quickie's had. That's incredibly haunting, I can imagine. But as you mentioned, I'm sure he's doing all right, and I'm sure he's managed okay, and he, who knows, maybe he'll have a chance to get his convertible someday. We'll see.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's guys out there who aren't like us who, you know, they bought eBay stock at 5 when if they waited a week it was 1 and they would have made a fortune. But we're not like that.
Absolutely. All right. On to our next random question at 8:26 tonight. So we're rounding out the end of our year, and we've really just gone through this thing just blazing fast. So let's quickly give you the channels to communicate with us tonight. At DidCow on the Twitter, blogtalkradio.com/DaveInTheCity on chat, and on the phone at 424-258-9251. All right, let's do it. Next question. What is the dumbest thing you've done for a girl?
The common thread through these questions is, for some reason, they're hitting the nail on the head. They're hitting, I've got an answer. From when they ask the question, something immediately pops to mind. And my answer is to this one is my favorite girl from the past. We've talked about her, blah, blah, blah. The one with the little boy, and I'll say it, you know, for posterity, the love of my life. You know, I love her.
Wow.
So she took him, her son and her mom went to something off Cape, and it was about this time of year, maybe 3 years ago, and I thought, I'm going to go to her house, I'm going to decorate her house, you know, with the Christmas lights and all that kind of stuff. I couldn't get into the house, you know, because we were only, you know, going out for like 6 months, so I didn't have the key or anything. So I just brought the whole Christmas lights and I decorated all her trees outside and the front of the house with different lights and ornaments and things like that, and connected them all to her. She had like an outside outlet, you know. So okay.
Wow.
Long story short, as usual, I got. So I'm doing this all, you know, it was, you know, 10 degrees, I'm freezing. And the whole time I'm texting her, and I'm finding out, like, when she's coming back, because I didn't want to be there, I wanted to be surprised. And like, yeah, we're heading back now, we'll be home in like an hour. So, something had gotten into me, whether it was the food or whatever I had at work, where I got sick. So I was like starting to throw up and not feeling good, which happens to me a lot because I have a lot of food allergies. So I'm like throwing up on the back porch and I got to go home. Like, I just have to go home now. I'm not feeling good. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to miss the whole surprise. So the end of the story is I'm home now, like curling up on the bathroom floor because I had some weird food allergy. And when they got home, she noticed, you know, different things out in her front yard, and she turned the lights on and it completely blew the fuse. The whole house lost power. I went, whatever I put into this one little outlet was just way too much. And it was this flash of brilliance for a second, where they saw all these trees light up, and then the whole house lost power. So that was pretty dumb. Like, she called me, and she's like, what did you do? Like, she was so angry because they had gotten home, and the house was freezing cold now, and her son is freezing and her mother is freezing, and I'm throwing up, and I'm trying to explain how I tried to do this nice thing and all this stuff, and then we're having this fight about something ridiculous, and then not until like 2 days later when I went over there for dinner or something, and I fixed it, and I fixed the fuse, and I fixed all that other stuff, and turned the lights on, did she appreciate it? But at that moment, I felt like the worst man in the world.
Oh my gosh, that's kind of a tough situation. Wow. Well, that certainly qualifies for the question, doesn't it? Dumbest thing I ever did for a girl, I got a girl a $5 Subway sandwich. I thought that was going to impress her. Dumb. All right, next question. Here we go. Okay, here it is. Is Junkman a Cape Cod lifer, or will you move? And if so, where would you like to be next? Because I know you've spoken about your time at Cape Cod, and so it always comes to mind. Like, is this someplace you can see yourself for the rest of your life, or do you feel like there could be a next destination?
That's a good question. I can't. I'm very close to being Cape Cod lifer. I'm not saying I'm there yet, but I'm completely finished with any sort of city life or any my old existence. So the only place I could see myself is another sort of kind of resort place or a vacation place where I could work in that service industry, you know. But, and I've said this to people who know me here, the only thing that is going to take me from here is a woman. Something that strong and that powerful where you're just head over heels for someone and she says, hey, you know, my parents have a house, have a restaurant in the Outer Banks in North Carolina, or my friends have a farm in California, and they're going to give us jobs. You know, it would take something else outside of myself to get me out of here. It would take a total sort of, you know, that kind of woman that makes you want to move with her. You know, I don't see myself leaving here just for me. I don't see me just taking off going, hey, I think I can make it in Miami. I can make it in New Orleans by myself. That would never happen. So I'm pretty close to being a lifer, but I wouldn't give up that small chance of saying, you know, some girl comes here in the summer and you just go completely insane for her, and she goes, hey, you know what, my family has a place in Asheville, North Carolina. I'd say, great, that's where I want to move. You know, whatever, make some shit up. And that's the only thing that would probably get me out of here, is just a completely love at first sight kind of crazy kind of thing like that.
Well, just be careful not to string up any electrics that could blow up fuses. That's the only thing you got to watch for. Once you get through that, you're safe.
Well, I learned from I don't make the same mistake twice, Dave.
I like it. That's a guy with experience, my friends. Okay, so that's the word from the junk man on his Cape Cod status, and much like Jim, no, that's it. I have no tie-in. I was gonna do some tie-in to Harbaugh or something, and like, nah. Okay, next question. Let's see. Now, so let me ask you this. I know that you've really made some changes to your diet lately. Do you still eat red meat on any level? You said burgers. You like burgers.
I do.
Do you still do burgers? Okay.
I do. Oh, I love burgers.
Burgers, baby. We already talked about this. I'm not going to waste your time with that question. Because I asked you one time earlier in the year, where is the best place to get a burger? And you mentioned a place, like a restaurant. I mean, it wasn't even a burger restaurant, like a regular restaurant or maybe a seafood restaurant. And you said they had a really good burger there, and it wasn't even that expensive, like in the $10 range. You told me about this burger, and you said it was really good. Do you remember that place?
I do. It's actually right near the market, right near my house.
Ah, yeah, okay.
And it's Yeah, least out here, you know, there's no, like, burger joints. There's no steakhouses. Like, as you can imagine, it's mostly seafood places. But there are a few places where if you kind of look at the menu and you talk to the owner and, you find out how they're, where they're getting their beef and that kind of stuff, you know, they get a really good burger. There's this place right, literally, it's around the corner from my work. It's called the local, Break, which is a strange name, but they had this house burger, which is like just that. It just really juicy and tender, and you can have cheese and stuff, but I don't really bother with that. And it's funny because I memorized that menu, but of course I can't recite it now because I can't even remember. But it's just, I can't even remember the name of the different kind of beef. They use like three different kinds and three different kinds of cheeses, and it's just good. You can just tell they, because there's a certain thing about, yeah, there's fine dining and there's all that kind of stuff, but there's a certain kind of respect I have for cooks and chefs that tend to the most basic ingredients and the most basic things that you'd like to eat. And anyone can make a hamburger. That's obvious. We all know that. But not many people can make a real good one, you know, that they care where the beef comes from and they care how they cook it and they care that it's not, you know, sitting in the freezer or there's not being dumped on by a whole bunch of weird toppings. You know, we have different kinds of restaurants. We have a fine dining place. We have a fried seafood place. All that kind of stuff. And I talk to these people every time when they come in the summer, and you try to train them and all that kind of stuff. And you have to have respect for all that stuff. There's a certain, I mean, just because you're putting out your fried seafood platter with French fries and stuff, you still have to make it good and you still have to care about it. And that's sort of the difference between a really good experience and just like, okay, I'll eat here, but I won't come back.
Awesome answer. So, that is one of the most descriptive answers for a burger question I can remember. Pretty awesome, but it really does. The person who puts a lot of care and selects the right ingredients goes a long way. All right, so question coming up. Here it is. What is the one thing that everybody loves that you don't get at all? And when I say that, I mean, you'll see, like, people get really fall in love with a TV show or a guy. I'm sure there have been plenty of responses, like celebrities. I mean, just right off the top, I mean, Kim Kardashian, I don't get it at all. Why is she popular? She does nothing. That's a good example of one. That won't be my answer, but that's certainly on the list. So what is one thing, person, place, or thing that is out there that everybody just loves, but you don't get it? Like, you don't get why it's so beloved. What is out there that stands out to you as that one thing that you don't understand the love for?
That's a terrific question, again, as usual. I had a lot of them. I mean, I don't get a lot of things. So, I mean, that's not news. We've talked about my feelings toward The Godfather and my feelings towards other things that I don't understand. Why certain things are popular and certain things aren't. As far as this question goes, I mean, I'm trying to think of the most, the top, you know, the what I don't understand. And that's really difficult. Maybe I don't understand. Well, not maybe. But all right, here's one. I don't understand, and I've thought this for a while, and I get why people like it. I get why people are completely insane about it. But I don't think the NFL should be that much more popular than the other sports.
Ooh.
And it's gone completely.
Wow.
It's so overboard. Like, it used to be sort of the four major sports. Now that's the major sport and the three others. And it's just gotten so much separation where it's the sport now in this country, and the other three just kind of fight for their scraps. And I listen to it and I watch it, and I don't watch the games as much as you do, but I listen to as much sports radio as anyone, as far as when I'm going to work and on my lunch and when I'm coming home. And it dominates to the point where I don't understand I understand why it's popular, but no one trying to get this. I still think of it as one of the four major sports, if that makes any sense. Where I think the rest of the country thinks of it as the sport, and the rest of them are the three other sports.
Yeah, it's changed a lot in the 32 years I've been around. I know that when I was born, it was just one of the four, and it's just overtaken the pot. I mean, it's like as popular as the three others combined at this point. And
absolutely.
I think television marketing plays into. I don't know. I don't have a real answer for this, but I tended to say that it was the easiest game one to. Because the scores were set up in a way where it's easy to actually predict what an actual score. It's easier to predict like what the score or the margin of victory of a game would be. You can't do that in basketball. It's impossible. You can't predict the actual number of points or come close to the number of points you think a team will win by. It's too many points. Baseball is too few runs. Hockey, there's too few runs or too few goals to really make a completely accurate assessment. But it seems like football, at least you get it in your head that you can predict margin of victory fairly easily. Now, that's probably not the reason. There are a lot of reasons. Fantasy football is popular. The sport's only on once a week. And because it's only on once a week, I think you think that all the sports shows and TV networks get to overhype the heck out of that thing. And you see a rise in college football, too. So there's a little bit of that. NFL's way more popular than even college football is at this point. But college is certainly growing. But the once-a-week factor and the fact that there are only 16 games per team probably has a lot to do with it. And guys just, they think that there are other things, there are more important things to do in the fall of sports. And I don't think you have to go all in with all the sports anyway. But they're just people who feel like, well, either I could do, I can whack off with some movies or whack off with some YouTube videos or watch movies and get some TV and go do other stuff. And the football just seems to be situated in a time that's consistent. It's easiest to follow because of a set schedule. It's only on once a week. Most of the games are on at two times during the day. 1 o'clock Eastern or 4:25 Eastern, about 4 o'clock Eastern, depending on what the game is. So I think the consistency and the simplicity of the sports schedule is the biggest reason why it works today. It didn't matter back then because I'm not quite there. I don't quite get it myself, actually. I'm trying so hard just to explain it. I can't do it. I mean, it's on once a week. There are fewer games. I just maybe people just don't have the attention span to follow the other sports anymore. Do you know what I mean? Because like baseball, you got to follow that for 6 months. I don't think a lot of people have care enough to really look at the standings for that long and have that kind of focus for that long. And I don't know. And same for hockey and same for basketball. I think a lot of people do, though. But it's just an overwhelming majority of people enjoy, would rather just deal with just one sport now. And they'd rather not worry about the other sports. They just matter more. I don't know. I just don't have an answer. I'm sorry, Junkie. I tried.
It sort of sounds like your answer is that one of the reasons, I mean, we all know, you know, gambling and that thing that makes the NFL popular, but
right.
It sounds, just listening to you in the last couple minutes, that maybe the reason why the NFL is more popular and the rest of sports aren't is because the people watching it are lazier.
Yes.
They don't want to invest more time, or maybe not lazy. It might not be. It might be a too harsh of a word.
Maybe, but
maybe they're busy. Maybe they're busier. Maybe they value, you know, different kind of things. Where,
right,
you know, in the old days, you know, sitting around with your family watching a baseball game at night, or watching your Lakers, or watching the Bulls, or watching the Blackhawks, was like a nightly thing. Maybe the people that just have other things to do, maybe there's just too many other things. So what you're saying is that because they have all these other things that they sort of tend to say, you know what, Sunday is the day we're going to watch football. The other days, we're not going to pay attention. Maybe it's that there's just so much other stuff going on.
Interesting. Yeah. I think that is basically where I was going, though. Like, I think people just feel like they don't have time for the other sports, or they think that other sports aren't important enough to them by whatever the reason. Like, they just think in their head that it's not, they don't want to take the time to put effort into following other sports. And I think that's what it is. The other sports, I didn't think this was true anyway, right? Like, I don't think it became more of an effort to follow other sports, did it? I mean, I think the amount of effort needed to follow the NBA and baseball and hockey, do you feel like it's about the same as it was like 30 years ago? Maybe a little bit more, a little bit less, depending on where you go. What do you think?
Yeah, I think now more of the other sports, it's the big game thing gets people into it, you know.
Right.
It's they get all excited for Wednesday night, Kershaw and Kane are going at it, or there's some other, you know, they get the big games, they get excited for the minor sports, or what they call the minor sports. Where in the old days, everyone was, it didn't matter who was pitching, it didn't matter who was playing,
mm-hmm,
they were just tuned in at that.
Oh, that's a very, very, very good point. And I do think that baseball has baseball's lack of ubiquity in society really has itself to blame. I don't think they've done a good enough job of promoting itself at all, especially to younger people. It's getting a little better, but they've got a ways to go. And so I think that's a lot of it. I just think it's easier to find NFL. It's only on like one or two channels on Sunday, and then a third channel at night. And then on Monday, it's on a fourth channel, and that's it. So, I mean, you got the Thursday game now, but it's amazing. The reason it's successful is because of a formula that goes back to the 50s, like the way that they televise these games. It's kind of ironic. Like, an old-fashioned broadcasting model is the reason why it works in 2014. Like, that's why it's more successful today than the other sports. Kind of weird, but true. But that's it. I mean, I just think that you have to put more of an effort with other sports on a general level to get to know it and appreciate it. And I do that to a small degree with the other sports. In football, they just give it to you. So I think you give the NFL a lot of credit for putting it out on the table that easily. And you challenge the other three sports to do a better job of putting it on the table that easily. So do you think that the answer to this is more about people's unwillingness to put more investment into sports, or is it in the league's unwillingness to invest more into putting it out there?
I think your first one is more accurate. I think it's more like a viewing habit kind of thing.
And I'll tell you, there's a value to that. Consistency and time slot can do a lot for a show, and moving it around can really be rough against the show. And I think, to give you an example, 60 Minutes has been good ratings pretty much forever. What would have happened if they moved to the Monday for like a year? The show could have tanked. It could have tanked. So just having it in the same place the whole time, believe it or not, that goes a long way. Remember, like, our show, like, we do shows on Tuesday sometimes. We have to because of schedule. Thursday. And I feel like the audience takes a hit when we do that. Like, everybody's used to, hey, where's the show? Like, what, do we have a show? And they're like Wednesday at 10 when we decide not to do the show. And they're like, where's the show? And it's like, it does really help grow an audience, like, putting a similar and constant time slot.
It's true. I think, 2013, we probably had the real peak where we did it every Wednesday night at 10 o'clock, and the chat room was there, and they were flying. You know, there was, you know, 30 guys in there, and then we had people emailing me afterwards. It was really consistent, and this year has been up and down. It's had, you know, it's mostly my own fault for, you know, being sick a lot and not being as reliable as I was in the past. But I feel like, we've done this for so long now. I think the end of 2012 and the whole 2013, it was awesome, because, you know, it was like every Wednesday night, you didn't even have to call me or text me to remind me. It was like, all right, 10 o'clock Wednesday. That was it, and I think the listeners or the people who listened to us afterwards or called in or wrote their questions and stuff, they knew that was going to be that hour. You know, you did your whole thing from 10 to 11, and I'd call in at 11, and that sort of consistency thing really peaked at that point, where this year, I think it was a little sporadic. It didn't have the buzz that it had had in the past.
And as you mentioned, there are certainly a variety of reasons for it. We've moved. We've had different arrangements. We tried experimenting with different technologies in presenting the program. But certainly getting it back to Wednesday night at 10 every week does a lot. It does a lot. I agree. And so, I think, you know, sometimes it's simple things that can yield great results. And just knowing where something is, it gets into your memory, and then all of a sudden it becomes part of your routine. And I think that goes a long way. It's definitely benefited us on a personal level, so it's pretty good. All right, one last question for you as we close up shop. And again, I hope you have a great holiday season, Junk Man. But let's do it. Here it is, last question from a couple quickies. Are there any mistakes in life you keep repeating? You don't have to actually reveal what it is, but if you have one, why do you think it plays out the way it does?
No, I don't think I keep repeating certain mistakes. I think I learned from my mistakes. I don't have a therapist. I'm sure if I did, they could tell me I had sort of a self-destructive pattern, but I can't spend money on a therapist. That's just a waste. I don't think that I'm sure I have. I'm not a saint, but I think I'm pretty good at learning from my past errors and trying not to repeat them in the future.
Well, that's good. I mean,
granted, you know, there's all the, we make all, you know, there are the certain ones that we fall for all the time, but sometimes those mistakes are fun, you know, sometimes those mistakes are interesting, you know, sometimes you go out and you know that this girl's a complete nightmare, but she might be fun for a night or a weekend, and the negatives aren't as good as the positives. So it's not that you're making that same mistake. You're making the mistake again, but you know, you learn from your past not to get. I guess you learn from your past not to get, you know, caught up and obsessed or get overly involved. You know, you take it for what it is. As you get older, you realize the reality of things and the circumstances and the consequences, I guess is the best word, but the consequences of your actions. So you've learned from them as you get older. So you make the same mistakes, but you're better equipped to handle those mistakes, if that makes any sense.
I think I'll say too that I certainly have made mistakes in my life, and I think that goes for everyone who's lived. But I don't necessarily think that I repeat mistakes. And maybe I'm just looking at it from a biased point of view, but I really don't think anything in particular I keep doing again and again and again. I mean, maybe if you count the, you know, kind of the, maybe the the picks I'd make in certain games, but that's just for fun. Like that's intended for entertainment purposes only. So never large investments in that, either emotionally or otherwise.
Right. Yeah, and like no longer I have the second burrito because I know the first one is enough.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. You know, that's you do. We do learn from mistakes, and I think that's the one of the values of life. So we've come out of it positively, I think, in the end. Okay, that's it for the year, Junkie. Wow, this has been a great year, and we hope for more consistency in 2015. We hope for better technology, and we certainly hope to go video with this program for good. And, Junkie, if I can see your face on TV, that'd be fun. I just want to say again, Merry Christmas, and all the good stuff. All the best to you and your family.
Yeah, absolutely. To you, too. Yeah, we'll work on it. I'll do my part to bring us into the 2015 video age.
I like it. Any plans for you on this holiday season other than work?
No, unfortunately, Dave, this is as ridiculous as it sounds, because we've talked about my whole summer insanity. Christmas, New Year's is dwarfs, just for the week, just for those 10 days, dwarfs the summer. I'm beyond busy. It's as I've told you before, I do all our online shipping and all that kind of stuff. I mean, today, like for the small example is today was my day off and I worked from 10 to 8. It's just beyond the online shipping,
90 seconds.
Our little website orders have just gotten out of control. So I am so busy. I have no breaks. But I'm not complaining. It's fun to be busy. January 2nd, I'll relax and, you know, get drunk and tell stories and again. But this holiday season is just very, very stressful.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I hope you get through it all right, buddy. And
I don't want to. Yeah, I'm not asking for any tears or
60 seconds.
Fun to be busy. It's fun to have business. It's fun to have people calling you and wanting their oyster shipped to California and that's cool. It's pretty fun to that we've created this summer world where we're so busy through Christmas. So it's fun. It's just anxious. Very busy.
All right, man. Well, hoping for the best as we go into 2015. Have a good one, Junkman. Be good talking to you as always. See you in 2015.
You are the best. Thank you, Dave.
All right, buddy. That's it for us. Have a great year. We'll see you next time. We'll be right back.